Father, we just thank you that we're able to come before you with clean hearts, that you don't see us as unclean, that you see us as pure, holy, and righteous because of the blood that your Son shed on the cross. We thank you so much for the gift of salvation that we have through him, that he was able to set himself aside and become sin on our behalf so that way we could have a relationship with you. You value us, you love us, you cherish us, you desire us, and you showed that by sending your Son to die on a cross for us. So as we come into this next few days of Christmas and with the reminder of the birth of Jesus when he became a human form to do all this, that we don't do it with light hearts, that we do this with excitedness. This world doesn't give us too many things to be excited for anymore. So we ask that you allow us to be excited that you loved us enough to send your Son for us. And let us convey that to our family members as we're with them, as we spend time together with those loved ones over the next few days and the next weeks ahead, that we can actually convey the hope that we have is through that encouragement and excitement that we have, that we know this world is not the end of all things, that we get to experience a life with you because Jesus conquered death. So we thank you for that. We thank you that we have the opportunity to rule and reign with you for all of eternity because of the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. We do just thank you for just the new life that you've given this church with Lisa and Blake, that you may just be with Lisa, just get her, keep her healthy, allow her to just be able to nourish the baby to full health. We just look forward to the salvation of little Levi, as we do with all the little ones, that day of salvation will be upon them when they have a choice to make, whether to accept you or deny you. So we just pray that you can just give them the tools necessary to teach the little ones who you are, what you are, and what you mean, and how they need you in their life. So we just look forward to that day of salvation for all of our little ones, and even our ones downstairs this morning, as they're learning about you, continuing to build on that foundation of your truth and your principles and your standards, that they can truly see that and recognize the need for you in their life. Let them put their little selfish desires and pride and ego and just selfish wants aside. Let them see that that's not the way of life that you are, and that is something that they need to strive after and something that they need to be able to recognize. So we just pray for the teachers downstairs, that you may give them the tools necessary and open ears to the little ones. Just, we know your Spirit is with them just as it is with us upstairs. There's no age requirement to be filled with your Spirit. It's just a choice to accept you as our Savior, and you immediately give us that blessing and that just wonderful gift of your Spirit within us. So we ask this morning that as we just cover faith, as it's something that sometimes seems to be so easy but so complicated, that you may just clear my thoughts, my heart, my mind, my speech to the things that you need to be said, the things that you need to be conveyed, that it may be just simple. Just that childlike faith that you tell us is obtainable by all, that we may truly adhere to that this morning, that your Spirit may just speak the truth that you need all of us, including myself, to hear this morning. We thank you. We love you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I do want to pray for Chrissy as well. Chrissy's had her foot surgery. Dale said that the pain meds are working good. They're not making her sick. They're actually helping her out. So we just pray that continues to do that and that she can be healed. Anytime they go and take bone out and remove bone and things like that, obviously it's painful. So keep Chrissy in your prayers. And Dale, as Dale is such a great example of what a selfless husband looks like, the way that he takes care of her, this is just one more chance that he gets to be a good leader and take care of his wife. So keep Dale in your prayers too, as he's just waiting on Chrissy through Christmas and all the events that comes with it. So Galatians chapter 3, we're just going to read along. I know we'll just recap chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We covered that, and then we'll get into Abraham as we follow along. So if you just want to pick up in chapter 3, Paul says, "You foolish Galatians," and we know why he says this. We've covered that what they're letting the simplicity of the gospel be perverted and distorted by. And he's like, come on, guys, you know better. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? So this is the whole basis of the faith. And we covered, do we hear and do we understand it by reception? That is it. Or do we have to work to be able to be approved of and be able to be qualified to have this faith? And this is what Paul's pointing out here, is that it's all by hearing. That faith is an understanding of, I hear it and I believe it. And it's that simple. But he says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? So the Spirit's not going to be perfected by the workings out or the flesh, our old sin nature. It's going to be perfected by our belief and by our faith and what it is that the Spirit of God does for us. So did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, so then does he who provide you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by with hearing of faith? There again, our faith and understanding who Jesus is, what he has done, what he came to earth to do, and then that faith that we have, as we're going to look at with Abraham, of when God tells us something, do we believe that which God says? Do we have faith in that God is big enough to do what he says that he will do, no matter the time that this takes place? So he goes on and says in verse 6, even so Abraham believed in God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it's those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. So don't get confused by what Paul's trying to say here. It's very simple of what he's speaking of, the faith that he's speaking of. And Abraham's life, as you know, is a picture of a life living in faith. That is Abraham. His life, when we look at who is somebody in the Bible that if we take the example of faith from, who does that come from? Because the promise, the covenant that God made to Abraham, the whole basis off of this is Abraham having a seed. That seed coming into Jesus, which is going to be able to bless all the nations of the earth, all the people of the earth. That is how that's accomplished, because the seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. So therefore, we get to share in that inheritance. We get to share in that blessing because of obviously the work that Jesus did on the cross, what he came to earth to do. So we look at Abraham and we know the story. We've been covering it on Thursday nights, but Abraham didn't do everything right. He got impatient. He tried to get ahead of God. He and Sarai, at the time, his wife, before she was named Sarah, it was Abram and Sarai. Now it's Abraham and Sarah when God redid their names. And you look at, they got impatient and they went forth with the maidservant Hagar. They got impatient for God, because you got to think, sometimes we're hard to critique Abraham, or fast to critique Abraham and saying, gee whiz, why would you go listen to your wife, give her to Abraham and be able to have her take the place of who Sarah was supposed to be in this covenant? We say, shouldn't you have been patient? But this was over years and years and years. And one of the very first things in Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. So God's saying, okay, Abraham, I'm going to take you. You need to believe me. You need to trust what I'm going to do. You need to go forth and think of, culturally speaking, back then, you don't leave your family. You stay. And he's saying, you're going to leave. You're going to go wander. You're going to go, it's not a safe place. There's many people that don't like people through then. So he's telling him to go do uncomfortable things. I want you to leave your family, which is uncomfortable. I want you to go to a land that you don't even know, that's full of people that don't like you. So he has a choice to make. Either believe God, have faith that God, whatever it is that God says, he does it, and not question, to say, okay, God, you have a bigger plan for me. You have a bigger purpose for me. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have faith that your plan and purpose is bigger for me than what I view it as right now. So God says, to the land which I will show you, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And that's because of the lineage of Jesus Christ. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. So we have this first time that Abraham exercises his faith. So right away, God says, all of your families, your relatives, all of this stuff, they're going to be blessed. So Abraham's going to have the thought, obviously I'm going to have a child to be able to have this lineage take place. For me to be able to have a name that's great, to have family members, to be able to bless all these nations through me, that must mean that my seed must go on. And we all know the story that Sarah was barren. Abraham was very old. That's why Isaac was laughter. Because they're like, laughed, God, you're not going to be able to give us a son. I'm 80 some years old and my wife's been barren her whole entire life. So Abraham's whole basis of this covenant, this thing that God told him to be faithful in and trust me, has to do with him having a seed. And then all of these years later, nothing comes to fruition. It all sits idle. So that's a huge part of faith, is that when we have faith, we have an opportunity to take things into our own matter, into our own hands. Do I have faith that God will accomplish what he tells me, what he promised me, or do I have faith that I just sit back and stay idle? And we talked about it Thursday night. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. Having faith doesn't mean that it's going to happen instantly or that we need to do something instantly. Having faith means sometimes that we have to sit back and be patient and watch. And sometimes that's much harder to do that. That faith is way harder to live because it takes us sitting back and staying out of the way and letting God work. And that's hard because we, our human nature, wants to go, go, go and accomplish, do, do. Well, I can have faith. If I just go out and do this, I will accomplish whatever God tells me by me doing it. Maybe that's what's God doing. Well, maybe God's telling you to sit back and wait and be patient and let him, his plan come out. So faith, and like I said, we're going to tie all this together today, hopefully. Faith is something that encompasses everything from the beginning of Abraham when God says, through you, through your family, through your heritage, I will bless and save all of the peoples of all the earth. That's the basis of what this covenant with Abraham is. And we know that because this is where Jesus comes from. So for us, Abraham's a great picture because Abraham is going to be long gone by the time Jesus Christ is born. So here we have God saying something to Abraham many years ahead that is a very big picture. But what does Abraham have to do with that? He can't control it, right? He can't see whatever God's going to do. He can't play a direct role because he's going to be dead in whatever it is that God is going to do. He has to believe God, have faith that whatever it is that God tells him is good enough. That's faith. Being able to say, I'm okay with whatever you say, God. I know you have a plan. I know you have a bigger picture than what I can physically see right now, and I have to be okay with that. That's faith. But that's hard for us because then we like to intervene. Then we try to say, no, but I need to be involved. No, I need to have my hands in the situation. No, I need to be in the midst of all of this. And God says, you need to believe me that my plan is bigger. That whatever it is that I have for you is bigger than what your eyes can see right now. So step back, have faith that it will be okay. But it won't be okay if I don't do this. It won't be okay if I don't have that person. It won't be okay if this doesn't work out for me this way. It won't be okay if I don't have this or that to make my life more comfortable and more easy. It won't be okay if this person's not in my life. I can't handle this person dying. I can't handle this, God. It won't be okay if I don't have this the way that I see fit. Well, then that's not having faith, which is hard as that is, but that's reality. That's what we have to face. That is what Jesus Christ came to earth to do, is to give you hope, to give you a decision, to give you something to believe in that is bigger than anything we can imagine. That's our faith in Jesus. Knowing that this life is not enough. Knowing that every minute that we live this day, that's not it. It's far bigger than that. That's what we believe in. That is the hope that we have. That is our religion, if you will. That is the reason that you've chosen to follow Jesus, is because you can say, I have faith that this life is bigger than what my day-by-day, moment-by-moment life, breath-by-breath life gives me. There's something more. There's something bigger. So we have to say, I don't know what that is, God. There's a lot of times we're faced with decisions where we got no idea and we can't fathom whatever it is just happened. But we have to be okay with saying, okay, God, I trust you. I believe you. And God did what with Abraham? He credited it to him as righteousness because he believed. I don't know, God, the scale that you can do things, I don't even understand. The realm that you're working in, I don't even understand. The picture that you see, I don't understand. But I believe you. I trust that you know better than I do. That's faith. That's what I laugh at faith, because it's so simple. But it's the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing that we do in our life, the choices we make, because it's hard for me to trust that God has it all figured out, because life's not that easy. So then I start having this battle within myself to say, is it that God that I can just truly step back and trust you? Is the little baby that was sent to earth to die on a cross, is that really the answer? Is it really that simple that all I have to do is understand that he is you, that you sent him for me so we could have a relationship forever together? Is it that simple? Because that's the simplicity of salvation. I have to trust that I'm a sinner and God sent him to save me. That's it. But man, that's so easy. It can't be that easy. But that's no different than what Paul's speaking to here. So you look at the Gentiles. Look at the Jewish religion. Okay, they were based off of works and laws. How can I do things? What must I do? You look at the Gentiles. There are pagan beliefs, heathen beliefs. So you have monotheism from the Jewish religion, which is one God. But the way these Jewish thought, with that one God, I have to seek his approval. I have to do things to get his approval. You have polytheism within the Gentiles, the heathens, the pagans, to where they had many gods. So you have many gods that they would believe, I must do this to make that God happy. I must do this to make this outcome, make that God like me and seek me approval. Whatever they were doing, whether Jew, whether Gentile, were seeking out for God's approval. They wanted somebody's approval to do something. And that's why these guys have such a hard idea with faith. That's why we sometimes have such a hard thing to do to understand faith. Is faith is not us doing anything. It's that simple. We don't have to seek out for God's approval. We don't have to work for something. We don't have to have an action that ends with a result of God being approved. That's not what it is. We have I must behave a certain way to have an outcome, and the outcome is based upon my working of the situation. That's what we think. But that's no different than the Jews and the Gentiles. I must behave a certain way, otherwise the outcome that I want will not be the outcome that I want. So therefore I have to behave a certain way. And I have to make this certain choice. And I have to act this way. I have to be approved this way, otherwise God will not do what God will do the way that I want him to. Well, that's legalism in a sense, because we're seeking God's approval to get whatever it is that we want. When faith has to be recognized to the point of God's going to do what's best for you, whether you think he is or not. That's faith. So either I can look at God and I can say, God, I have to seek your approval. I have to do all of these things, behave a certain way so I can get whatever I want from you. So it's pleasing to you, so you're pleasing to me. But that's completely contrary to what faith is. Faith is us looking at him and saying, okay, however I am, you have a plan. However I act, you have a purpose. Whatever comes my life, whatever comes my way, you have a purpose and a plan that's better than what I can fathom. So instead of me having to act or work for your approval or work for the things that I want you to give me, I will step back and I will trust you. That's faith. That's the simplicity of it. Abraham stepped back. God took him outside and he said, look at the stars. Your descendants will be as many as the stars. Look up. So what did he do? He went out and he looked up to God. What is that a picture for us to do? Look to God within our situations. When we're presented with something that we have to make a choice in, that we have to have faith, or we have to make an action, we're at that crossroad. Do I act or do I have faith that God's going to act? Me or him? Look up to the stars. Because that's where God is. Look up. Say, God, what is it? What is it that you have? What is it that you need from me? And then set back. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. That's what the answer to faith is. That's what the result of faith is. Seek him first, knowing that whatever he gives you when you seek him is good. It's that simple. But it's so hard. It's the hardest thing we do. So the difference with faith is knowing that God already has the way prepared. We have to look at faith and say, okay, God, you already have a way prepared for me. Faith is the confidence that God has that way or a solution prepared beforehand. The solution is oftentimes bigger and better than what we can see. So faith is the confidence that God has a way or has a solution already prepared. But our problem is our own nature has a trust issue. We create a trust issue with who we are. Our old sin nature does. Our problem with human nature is that it forces us to find solutions through our own power. A great example of this is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 with the fig leaves, where Adam and Eve, after they sinned, and they were walking through the garden, and what they do? They noticed that they were naked. So they said, our eyes have been opened. We have to now hide ourselves, cover ourselves from God. We have to find a solution to make sure that we're okay with God. Well, what was their solutions? They went and put fig leaves on themselves. What was Abraham and Sarah's solution? There's a seed coming from you, Abraham, but it ain't from me, says Sarah, so let's get my maidservant Hagar. Let's find our own solution to this problem. But God, knowing all things, knew that our old sin nature beforehand, so he provided us with an answer and a solution to the problem. His answer being salvation to all mankind through the seed of Abraham, and that's in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand. So God knew this. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So here we have Paul calling out salvation through the gospel clear back at the time of Abraham. God knew that we were going to have a problem. God knew that we were going to have issues. God knew that we were going to need help. So he provided us an answer so far back. And that's what's the hard thing for us to fathom about God, is that he doesn't work on our time frame. He's not bound by a 24-hour clock and a 12-month calendar. He can see it all. The beginning, the present, and the future. He sees it all at the same time. Our minds can't comprehend that. It makes no sense. But God can, because he's the creator. Why couldn't he? So he looked at this and he said, hey, guess what? We're going to have a problem. There's going to be a problem with mankind. Clear back in the garden. That's why he said that the serpent will bruise the heel. He will crush the serpent's head, and the serpent will bruise her heel. Meaning what? Meaning right then and there, salvation through Jesus Christ was presented in the Bible. Clear back. The very first thing that happens in the Bible, salvation presents itself. And then he says again with Abraham, of your seeds will be blessed. They'll be fruitful. Your descendants will be fruitful. Well, how? Because of Jesus Christ. So God gives us a way to be able to get out. His answer is salvation to all mankind through Jesus, which is the seed of Abraham in verse 3, verse 8. So faith is what allows us to be part of and experience God's solution. That's how you think of faith. It gives me a direct way to be a part of and experience the solution that God has provided. We cannot and will not see the fix in his solution because our eyes are blinded until we step out in faith and experience his provision firsthand. Faith is what allows us to be part of and experience God's solution. We cannot and will not see the fix in his solution because our eyes are blinded until we step out in faith and experience his provision firsthand. That's what it requires. I can't step off of this ledge into the foggy darkness to experience whatever's there if God says, you have to step off this ledge. Don't worry, it will be fine. But all I can see is fog. I can't experience that faith that God tells me to have unless I act upon it and unless I step off and experience it. It's up to me to do that. We will never experience the provisions God's given us if we don't step out in faith and do it. Sometimes stepping out in faith is being patient. Sometimes stepping out in faith means we got to do something. More often than not in my life, it feels like God is patient. Being patient. Because we want now, now, now. We're never satisfied. We always got to be doing this, doing that, chasing this. And so often, that provision, God just says, wait, be patient. Believe that I will give you the things that you need. Believe that I will give you protection, comforts, the desires of your hearts, that abundant life. Believe that. But it's going to take patience to do that. So the reality of all these choices is that our sin nature, the nature of our flesh, is hostile towards God. We have to recognize that. Our sin nature, our human nature that we have, is hostile towards God. This creates a battle that is always present between the two within us. Do I trust God? Do I trust myself? Every choice we make, who am I making that choice after? So there's a battle that presents itself. We battle within ourselves to overcome the lust of the flesh, which wishes to sit outside the presence of God. That is what our flesh does. When I chase things with my flesh, when I follow my desires, when I let that lust win, to be able to not be stepping out in faith, I'm outside the presence of God. I am not seeking Him anymore. I am not chasing after Him anymore. I am not under His protection anymore. Because I've chosen to trust myself and my ways over His. I don't have faith that whatever it is at that time is big enough, that God's big enough to handle. Or I'm not going to be patient enough to see it come true. I'm going to step out and handle it. And when we do that, like we talked Thursday night, your sin and those actions of those choices, those results, they negatively affect the state of your soul. And they negatively affect those around you. When I choose to step out of God's protection and presence into my own nature, into my own way of my faith in myself, I'm harming my soul. It's my own fault. And then I don't even harm my own fault or my own soul, but I harm those around me. I harm those that I love because I'm not in the presence of God. I'm in the presence of Matt, who is not a good person, who makes dumb choices, who says things, who is arrogant, who is prideful, who is harmful. And then I wonder why my life sucks around me, or everybody's in a bad mood around me, or why it's so harmful, those people that are around me. Then why are they learning what they're learning? Why do they act the way they do? Well, they watch me. They think, well, Dad acts that way. That's normal. Why can't I act that way? So we have a huge responsibility, especially us as fathers, to be able to recognize the battleground that we're in, that battle of whether it's our flesh or whether it's God. Who am I going to choose to serve? Because my children are going to learn from me who to serve, themselves or God. So life without conflict is impossible. You need to get that into your head too. Life without conflict is impossible. But I just want to live a comfy, cozy, no issue life. Everybody leave me alone. Let me just do my own thing. Why is everything always a problem? Guess what? It's always going to be that way. Life without conflict is impossible because there's human beings in life. You have a sin nature, which is going to make your life complicated, and other human beings have a sin nature, which is going to make your life complicated. Wake up. It's part of life. It's there. Where there's people, there's problems. Period. So, life without conflict is impossible. What is produced in this conflict will always be reflected in the outcome. Okay? We will either have faith, which results in growing and strengthening in our relationship with God, in our faith. I can grow my faith. I can strengthen my faith, depending on the outcome of this battle, or I can submit to my flesh, which results in defeat and bondage. We go back into that house of slavery. So we can either, through that, be victorious, strengthening our faith, growing our strength, or we can be defeated when we follow the flesh and we could submit ourselves back into bondage, where we're not in the presence of God. The battleground is the place where we come face to face with the schemes of the enemy. That's every day. That's what this battleground is. The schemes of the enemy is for you to be able to submit yourself to your nature. That's what the enemy wants you to do, because he knows who we are. He knows what we're like when we're not in the presence of God. How can I do the most damage to somebody? Get them to be out of the presence of God. They will harm their souls, remember, and they will harm those around them. Let's get them out of that presence of God so I can negatively affect them in every aspect of their life and negatively affect everybody that's around them because of what they'll turn into be. So we have this battleground that we come face to face with the schemes of the enemy. We're met with his plans of destruction because obviously he's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to destroy your life. Destruction, complete chaos, utter destruction. That's what the enemy wants for you. That's why faith is so big. Do I have faith that God can save me from that? Do I have faith that Jesus conquered that? Do I have faith that Jesus is bigger than all things, including death? That he is a creator, that he isn't equal with God, and the enemy is not. That's a big step. To realize that there's all sorts of things right now going on just with our corrupt world that we live in, with different movies and different things with throwing Satan and satanic things and satanic beings as equals with Jesus. And that's completely contrary to who Jesus is. Never forget that Satan is a created being, therefore he is no equal to God. Otherwise he would be a creator of all things, which we know nobody is but God. He is a created being. God created him for a specific purpose. Therefore he is subject to God's authority because he's a created being. So we have no ability within ourselves to withstand and be victorious without having faith that Jesus has prevailed and will continue to prevail. Faith goes beyond salvation. Key point. Because salvation requires faith once. We know that. I have to have faith that the little baby that was born on Christmas Day was the one to grow up, hang on a cross, and die for my sins. The blood that he shed satisfied the wrath of God. Therefore, I am covered in that if I accept the fact that that was enough for me. If I say, okay, that was enough, thank you. That I have to have faith because I can't do anything. I wasn't there when he was born, and I wasn't there when he was on the cross. I didn't see him. Did we? We never saw him walk this earth. We never seen him do the miracles that he did. We never seen him heal the sick like he did. I have to believe that what he told me is true. I have to have faith that he is who he says he is. I have to have faith that he is my Lord and my Savior. I have to believe that. I have to make that choice. But faith goes above and beyond that, because in life, every single breath we take requires faith. Every breath requires faith. Because the battle rages within. That battle that we're constantly in requires us to make a choice. Do I believe that you are who you say you are? Do I believe that you've conquered all of these? Do I believe that you have a better path already, a way that's already prepared for me? Do I believe that? Because in Galatians chapter 5:17, it says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another." So every moment we have to have faith in everything we do. There's a cool story back in Genesis chapter 15. There again, we covered this on Thursday night, so we'll touch on it briefly. After a battle, we must go meet God. So when we have these conflicts within our soul, when we have these choices, when we have these opportunities to either reflect upon our nature, or we have the opportunity to trust, have faith that God has it figured out, whatever that is, whenever we're done with that battle, we go to God. What do we mean? Chapter 15 of Genesis. Actually, chapter 14 is the first recorded war or battle in the Bible. And it's when Lot was stolen. I'm just going to paraphrase this. And Abraham put together his men, and he went and saved Lot. And he brought him back. And he says in chapter 14, because all the kings of these different cities that Abraham and his men went out to save, they want to thank Abraham. So they come to him with gifts, and they come to him with offerings. And what can we do to be able to repay you for what you've done for me, for rescuing all of our possessions, all of our women, all of our children, all of our people that got dispersed through this battle? How can I repay you? And what Abraham says is, I have sworn in chapter 14, verse 22, I have sworn to the Lord God, Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that's yours, for you would fear that I'd say, I've made Abraham rich. Jump down in 15. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. So this is post-battle. Abraham did what he did. He went after Lot, his nephew and his family and all the possessions. But after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram, I am a shield to you. So oftentimes, after the battle, just what Abraham did, we question, was what I did right? Was the decision that I made right? The choices that I made right? Was it worth it? Were the choices that I made in that battle? So to come face to face with God and ask these questions. Because the key part in that, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High. Abraham was right with God. That is why the answer that God gave him is, do not fear, Abram, I'm a shield to you. Because Abraham was in the right place with God. He already believed and had faith in whatever it was that God was doing was bigger than what Abraham saw at that moment. So he went out in a battle and he conquered and he came back and God came to him face to face. They look and they say, okay, what was it that I did, God? Was it right? What was it, God, that I did? Was it worth it? And God says, because you were within me, because you were in my presence, because you were right with me, then yes, do not fear. What you fight for is right. What you want in that victory is right. And I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be the shield. These questions we ask, Lamentations chapter 3:40 says, let us test and examine our ways. Well, what are those? Those are our choices. Those are these battleground decisions that we're making. 2 Corinthians 13:15, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Haggai 1:5, consider your ways, says the Lord. So we're meant to go before God and ask these and consider these things and get his perspective on what it was. Was I right? Because the more that we come to him and we examine ourselves after these battle situations, the more we're going to remember, number one, to seek him, because we're going to him right afterwards. So since these are daily, minute-by-minute battles, where is that going to leave us? Remember when it talks about pray without ceasing? It doesn't mean that I got to bow my head and I got to sit here for all my days. 24 hours a day I just sit here and I don't do anything. No, these are conversations. This is part of the praying without ceasing. You go to God and say, God, what I did, was it right or was it wrong? In your eyes, I hold myself to your standards, your principles and values. The choice that I made, was that right? Did that adhere to your character? Was that right in what I did? Was that worth it for your glory? Is that me seeking mine? So what that does is that trains us then. If we know that we're going to go to God after we make a decision, after we have a battle take place, per se, if we know that we train ourselves to continually go to God after those, it's going to help us with our outcome and our faith in the situations when we make the choices. Because we're going to say, I'm going to have to answer to God after this. So therefore, my choice within that battle, the way that I handle myself, the faith that I place in him, the decisions that I make are going to be different, because how do I want to answer him to when I go to him afterwards? Do I want to go to him with my tail between my legs, knowing that what I did was wrong? Or do I want to go with him before him saying, God, I had faith. I don't know what your picture is. I don't understand what you're doing, but I placed my hope in you, my trust in you. I tried to represent your character, standards, and principles the best way that I could, God. Are you satisfied with that? That's fear. That's the fear that we place in God. Do I fear that I did right, or do I fear that I did wrong? And the outcome of that will say, I am a shield to you. The more we do it, the more practice that we do this, the more that we make this our lifestyle, the more that we're going to be able to rely on God to be our shield like He says He's going to be. So do I have anything to fear? Abraham feared after the victory, and God said, do not fear, I'm a shield. And that's because he was right with God. We must build into our hearts and minds the complete and absolute confidence in God. That is what we're building in our decisions and in our heart. That is what faith will build in us. It will give us, in our hearts and our minds, the complete and absolute confidence in who God is and what He will do. That's what faith and action will continue to build within us. Building takes time and effort, right? We're always told when you're building something or doing something, it could be two of three options: good, fast, and cheap. If it's good and fast, it ain't going to be cheap. If it's cheap and fast, it ain't going to be good. And whatever the other one I missed is. Those days are long gone out of my head. But we look at those, and it takes effort. Not everything that is cheap is going to be good, or it may not be fast. If we want something that's good, it's not going to be fast. It may take time, and it may be expensive. It may take you to invest your time. It may take you to invest time into other people. It may take you to invest time in your family. It may take different things in your life over time. But that's when we have to step back and look and say, okay, God, I'm pretty sure you're not a cheap and fast God. I'm pretty sure the sacrifice you made to send your son to earth was not a cheap, fast decision. You took time beforehand figuring out a plan that was beneficial for everybody, that would be good for everybody. That was not a hard thing, or that was not an easy thing to do. That was a very expensive, valuablest thing that you did, was to send your son down to earth for us. Our location and where we build things are key. Do we build our trust and faith in our heart? Or do we build it in our flesh, our own nature? Where are we building these things? How we build things, we must be okay with. If I want things to be complete, it's going to take time. Do I want to move in prematurely to a house that ain't finished? We saw that all the time, and guess what? Them houses never got finished. I'm going to finish this later. I'll finish this by myself, or I'll do this, and you move in before it's ready to move in, and it never gets finished, and it gets drug out, and in the process of finishing it while they live there, it just gets destroyed. Yeah, I'm going to go. How many of you know what sand and drywall is like? Everybody does. It makes a mess. I'm going to finish my bathroom when I'm living in my house, redo my kitchen when I'm living in my house. Does that make a mess? Sure it does. Complete or incomplete? When we build this, what are we okay with? 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, for the sake of Christ, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am placing my faith, my hope, not in my flesh. I am placing my faith and my belief that He is who He says He is. And His plan is bigger than I can ever imagine. And I have to wait it out, and I have to see whatever it is that He's doing in my life. There's nothing greater than having faith in God when all you see are so many other better options to place your faith in. These times are the greatest victories. I'll read it again. There's nothing greater than having faith in God when all you see are so many other better options to have your faith placed in. These times are the greatest victories. Faith is what allows us to mix heaven and the things of God into our earthly lives. This brings light into darkness and allows us to have the perspective of eternity in all circumstances. Faith is what allows us to mix heaven and earthly things together. when I can place my hope in eternity, when I can place my hope in Jesus. That is taking the things of heaven, saying, God, I trust you. You have a bigger plan. Your ways are perfect. Mine are not, and I trust you. I just took the things that he is, who he says he is, his characters, principles, and standards, and I just mixed them into my nature on earth, my flesh, my life that we live every day. That is the only way that we're going to be able to mix heaven and earth together, is having faith that God is who he is, says he is, and that his plan is much bigger and better than what ours is. We'll end. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we can even place our faith in you. We thank you for making things so simple. I just pray that as we go forth, we may be challenged to just see the simplicity of what faith is. Give us the patience. Give us the courage to stand back. Give us the eyes to seek you, to see you. Give us the ability just our every breath that we take to just place that faith in you, that we're just walking through this life with our reliance on you. That's the faith we want to have, is we don't place that faith and that hope of what our day looks like and how our day is going to survive by what we can do, but what you can do with it. So I just pray that you continue to guide us so lovingly like you do. And again, we just pray for all the appointments that you've set up with all of our families throughout Christmas and the time that you've given us to spend together the next couple weeks, that we may just be glorifying you in the midst of all of those. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.